The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
But first, every year, this time of year, Pieta House, the suicide and self-harm charity, with the help of their sponsor, Electric Ireland, they organise a great event called Darkness into Light. Well, last year, when it wasn't possible to walk together from darkness into light, Pieta House faced a funding crisis, but Ireland came together and got behind the event with hundreds of thousands of people rising at dawn, doing their thing, and then sharing sunrise moments from across the country. 1 year on from when we went into lockdown, Pieta House's services are in demand more than ever. So this Saturday morning, they're asking you to join them again. Participants can walk, run, swim, hike, bike, or simply share one sunrise together for darkness into light. Now, to understand just how important the services are, I'm joined on the line now by a former client of Pieta, Cliona O'Hanlon. Good morning, Cliona.
Pat, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, you're a former client of Pieta, but perhaps you might take us back to the beginning of your story when things were a struggle for you.
I suppose, really, when things first started to become complicated with me, with my mental health, I lost a baby when I was 18 years old. The pregnancy didn't go full term. I ended up losing the baby at 28 weeks. And kind of from there on in, my mental health really became something that was quite challenging for me from then until about 4 years ago.
How did you react? I mean, in what ways did you know you were actually going off the rails?
Yeah, like I suppose, like, you know, really on reflection of that time in my life, I didn't really have the mental or emotional awareness, skills or tools that are available to us now. And I suppose I experienced a lot of low moods, low energy, bleakness after that incident when I was 18. And kind of unlike now in today's society, there wasn't as much support readily available to me at the time. So I did go see a counsellor once, but it wasn't a great fit. So I decided, look, I'm going to deal with it myself, and kind of went down a route that was quite self-destructive. I suppose I kind of went into a phase where I just wanted to numb out how I was feeling. So that would have been done like through drinking, using drugs recreationally, food, anything but feel the feelings and the grief that I was feeling. So just distracting myself in any way that I possibly could.
How dark did it get for you, Cliona?
Well, about a couple of months after I lost my baby, Harvey, I did attempt suicide. I took an overdose, and gratefully and obviously I was unsuccessful. My mom found me and brought me into the hospital. So yeah, I mean, it got dark enough for me to contemplate my life. So I think that's a fairly dark place.
Now, you headed off to the UK. Did that spiral continue there, or did you start again, forget about all that you'd left behind?
It did. Like, I mean, I started hairdressing kind of about 3 or 4 months after I lost the baby. And that was a really, I suppose, a good distraction in a way. But it was still a distraction. I moved to the UK then, and I continued on my hairdressing career over there. Which, you know, on reflection back, like, again, it was another avoid and not deal with everything that was going on. And yeah, I mean, that kind of cycle of, I suppose, self-diagnosis and self-medicating, it was just, again, you know, partying, going out. Now, I was in my kind of early 20s and stuff, so I think that would go hand in hand, the party lifestyle. But I mean, the avoidance of actually dealing with the trauma that was present and that was there, that cycle continued for quite a while. I mean, I was in the UK for about four and a half years, and not once did I really seek any, I suppose, professional help that would have helped me in a more conducive or constructive manner.
You came back to Ireland, set up your own business with a partner, and on the face of it, that went really well.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, head first into a career, a hairdressing career. We opened a salon, and, you know, it was at the a couple of months after the recession here in Ireland. So, you know, head down, worked really hard. Again, I suppose, avoiding through the means of work, doing. And yeah, and on the face of that, that looked like everything was okay. But really internally, I was still struggling quite a bit.
How did that impact on the business itself and also your relationship with the other person with whom you were in business?
Yeah, I suppose like really when you're suppressing a lot of trauma, you know, it's going to come up in ways that are kind of not conducive to leading or guiding anyone, your life, your business. I suppose it did negatively impact in the end. And, you know, unfortunately, that business partnership didn't work out. And we went our separate ways after 5 years in business.
Well, then you open your own salon and that once again is successful. So on the face of it, things are going great.
Yeah, I suppose kind of like, you know, I opened up that salon because it just seemed like the next logical step. And yeah, again, I suppose outwardly, you know, it looked like it was a great success. I had kind of quite a big team very, very early on. And yeah, it looked really good. I mean, I got very heavily involved in social media as well at that point. And I was portraying this really successful, outwardly glamorized life, but really, like, you know, the internal, it was quite contrasting. And it was a very hard, show to keep on the road when I just felt very incongruent and out of integrity to how I was actually feeling on the inside.
Yeah. Now, you got pregnant again with your daughter, Sienna, and you've said you were the most boring person imaginable at that time. Why was that?
Yeah, I was boring. I was boring insofar as, you know, I suppose I called it like the princess pregnancy. I was just so mindful of doing everything right. And I think I was just so happy in myself and content. I was nearly one of these really annoying people that everything was brilliant. And even if I was having a bit of an off day, you know, I was just like, yeah, no, it's fabulous. I was just so grateful, I suppose, Pat, that I was pregnant and that the pregnancy was, you know, going well. And I just really minded myself during that pregnancy. And yeah, like, I suppose in like the duration of time where I would have experienced bleaker periods, definitely reflecting back on my pregnancy with Sienna, it was one of the brighter times in my life where I was just so full of joy. I was just so grateful for the way things were kind of looked like they were working out for me finally.
Well, now things look a bit differently after Sienna was born. She was born on Friday the 13th, and that might have been an omen of things to come.
Yeah, like, you know, they say, you know, Friday the 13th, 13 unlucky for some. For me, it was very lucky. I mean, I was gifted with the most amazing, incredible daughter, Sienna. I suppose my perception of what motherhood was going to be like was very different in reality. I think I was really, I was looking at this Walt Disney, you know, rose-tinted version of motherhood that, you know, you see on the Instagram reels. But, you know, in reality, you know, motherhood's challenging, you know. Well, my experience of it initially first half was anyway, I had a new baby. I think your first baby anyways, you know, you're thrown in at the deep end. There's no guidebook really. Plus I was also navigating growing a new business. So I had a team of about 17 at the time. So there was a lot of draw off my energy. And you know, the first few weeks were fantastic. I was elated, full of the joys of life. You know, my daughter was here, everything had went well. I was so grateful. And as kind of the months started to progress, the bit of the baby blues that I experienced weren't lifting, and they just seemed to be getting, you know, a little bit heavier, to the point where I suppose I was, you know, a little bit paranoid about Sienna, just overly consumed about something going wrong or, you know, something happened to her. And I remember one morning, she was crying in her little carry cot, and her father, my husband, turned around to me. He said, is it okay if I pick her up? And I remember thinking at that time, gosh, you know, like, what way am I with her that he's actually asking me, can he pick up his own daughter? So I kind of had an inkling. I was like, right, I was like, this probably isn't normal. But it took another few months before really I realized, uh-oh, you know, yeah, things aren't great.
Did you ever revert back to taking drugs or drinking too much or party, party, party? Or did you go into yourself a bit?
Yeah, a bit of both, you know. Like, my husband was the only person that really knew at that point, you know, how much I was struggling. Obviously, he lived with me. I was still living this outwardly. Everything's fine. Instagram reels, perfect life kind of movie. And yeah, I suppose I kind of reverted back to a stage in my life where I knew how to cope with previously, which was, you know, going out, you know, partying, trying to, I suppose, reclaim some sort of control and identity around a time in my life where I felt very out of control. Yeah, and do you know what? It's something that I really had to work on and work through that kind of guilt and shame around kind of almost reverting back to that stage when I had a little baby at home, but it was the only coping mechanism that I really knew at the time. And so, yeah, I did.
Did you do the immediate thing, you know, go the immediate route, which would be, I'll go to my GP, I'll get what help I can there? And if you did you get that help?
Yeah, so like my husband did sit me down and say to me, you know, Clay, you know, this can't continue. We do have a young baby. He had a business, I had a business. There was a lot of pressure on us. He said, I really feel at this point I'm outside of my jurisdiction to give you any more support. I really feel like you need to get professional support to this at this point. So I had to take that on, and I said, yeah, I'd ring my GP. So I went down, made an appointment, went in and I visited her, and I sat down and I explained to her. I said, look, this is the story. My baby blues haven't really left. I feel like I'm experiencing, you know, postnatal depression. There is suicidal ideation there. I'm getting suicidal thoughts again. They have a history there. And at that point, I was met with a prescription for antidepressants for 6 weeks and just told to make a repeat visit for 6 weeks' time to see how it's getting on. So that was the solution that was offered to me at that point. And it kind of happened so quickly. I left the doctor's surgery, thanks a million, walked out. I knew personally, for me, that wasn't really the route that I wanted to go down. I had been on antidepressants when I'd lost my baby initially, and they just didn't work or suit me personally. And that was my own choice.
So the GP route was not the route for you. Now, it might be for some people, but it wasn't what you needed at that time. So what was the next step? Your husband was obviously very worried about you because he was the only one maybe who understood exactly what you were going through.
He was. And, you know, like, your credit where it's due for him, you know, like he was so loyal that he didn't want to, I suppose, break my confidence with what was going on in our family home. But at the same time, it was so isolating for him as well, you know. But I remember sitting outside the GP's office and just thinking, oh my goodness, like, what am I going to do now? And just feeling like even worse than I'd gone in. And I went home and I explained the situation to my husband. I was like, this isn't the route I want to go down. I felt even more despair than I'd done before I went in. And I mean, even taking that first step past, you know, to go down and admit to your GP and admitting to someone outside of, you know, your close family member was a big step in itself. And I just felt so deflated. And yeah, my husband had said he'd been doing some research and he had come across this fantastic service, Paid House, and explained a bit about it to me and asked me would I consider contacting them. And I didn't feel brave enough at the time to make that initial call. I felt like I was maybe overreacting, that there was someone out there, you know, more deserving of a place than me. And my husband gratefully picked up the phone and made the first contact for me on my behalf.
Were you saying to yourself, I'm not the kind of person who goes to Pieta House?
Exactly, the judgment.
So then he made the contact and kind of put it up to you. Now you're going or you're not, but it's your decision. I've done as much as I could. What was it like going to Pieta House for the first time?
Oh, like, my husband drove me. I felt sick. My hands were sweating, my heart was racing. I was trying to talk myself out of it. I was trying to tell my husband, actually, things aren't that bad. Yeah, there was resistance there. And all at the same time, you know, knowing my history and knowing that, you know, it had been a very real case that this was something I had attempted previously. And I had a little girl at home. I knew, you know, this is really the last hope, really. You know, I don't want things to deteriorate much more. I'll give it a shot. So there was a lot of mixed feelings and mixed emotions, if I'm being honest. Yeah.
So when you were met by a person or people in Pieta, what was that like?
Oh, wow. Like, it's a bit surreal even looking back and revisiting it, because it seems like it happened to another person. But from the minute the door was opened, just I could feel the warmth, the energy, the friendliness, the respect, the compassion. The girl that opened the door first day, it was just a beautiful lady. She brought me into the waiting room. I was met by an absolutely gorgeous gentleman who just did a review with me initially. I think I spent the whole time crying and sobbing. And there was just so much compassion and space holding and just warmth radiating from every person I contacted, whether it was someone walking past me, they might have just been a little smile, but there was just an innate, beautiful human quality to everyone inside in the building.
So you're able to share what you'd been going through, the feelings that you had with people who were non-judgmental. They just wanted to hear your story and support you.
Absolutely. I mean, it was the first time I feel in my life that I'd ever really experienced what it was like to be in a space where there was no one trying to fix your problems, tell you what to do, give you advice. Just being received in a non-judgmental, compassionate, empathetic space was healing in itself, let alone the counselling that went along after that. You know, that space in itself was healing. Yeah, very, very grateful for even that first contact with them.
How long did you deal with Pieta, or perhaps it's an ongoing relationship?
Yeah, like a Pieta are a service that are free to individuals, and you can access, I think it's up to 14 or 15 sessions. The counsellor that I met with, I call him an earth angel, was such an amazing space holder and counsellor that after six sessions, I felt like I had come to a place where I was able to navigate and guide my own path forward from that space, and had sat down with my husband and discussed with him and felt that I knew what I needed to do, where I needed to go, what I needed to implement with the guidance of the counsellor. And I felt at that point I wanted to hand the other sessions over to someone else who may be in crisis or may need it at that point.
But you got the tools to be able to work on yourself whenever you get into those kind of difficulties, those moments which you now know how to handle. And I believe you changed direction, but in a sense, you're still working on people's heads.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah, I suppose those kind of first few sessions really, that was probably the first time in my entire life when I actually pressed the pause button and gone, where am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? Am I happy? Do I like where I am? And really start to self-reflect and be introspective. And I had a few realizations in those first few sessions that I wasn't really aligned with what I was doing anymore, that I felt that, yeah, just that my career wasn't really suiting me as a person. And I decided that I was going to sell my business and look into an area of the business that I was quite passionate with, which was working with people and coaching. So I went and I did a coaching diploma and I started a coaching business, which I'm still doing. Well, I'm on maternity leave now, but I have been doing since I sold the business.
Okay, well, you're still associated with Pieta, which is good. And the reason we're talking with you, besides the pleasure of your company, is to remind people of what's happening this weekend, because Pieta and Electric Ireland, their sponsor, are encouraging people to share one sunrise together, because the usual darkness into light activities couldn't happen last year, can't happen this year. But they want you to share your sunrise on Saturday, whether you're walking or swimming or cycling or hiking or lying in bed. If you've got a view of the sunrise, that'd be nice. But whatever you're doing, do it for Pieta.
Absolutely. And Pieta and Electric Ireland also are urging people just to sign up at darknessintolight.ie and just to take part in a very special Darkness Into Light this May the 8th. And just another thing, like, you know, I mean, we've been through challenging times this past year, and I just think it's fantastic that Pieta's counselling services have still remained available throughout the past year through phone, video, face-to-face appointments. And they've delivered over 52,000 hours of therapy and received over 70,000 calls and texts for help through their 24/7 crisis helpline. Which I just think is such an amazing service to have available to the people of Ireland. And you know, without their service, I wouldn't be here to tell my story. And I really would urge all of your listeners to get involved in any way they can. It's such a life-giving service, and you never know when you or a loved one may need to use their services also.
Well, I should say now that if anyone listening has been impacted by any of the issues that were raised in this conversation, you can contact Pieta House on their free 24-hour suicide helpline, which is 1-800-247-247, and they also have a 24-hour text helpline as well if you text HELP to 51444. And again, log on to darknessintolight.ie if you want to get involved in the activities just before dawn on Saturday morning. Cliona O'Hanlon, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
Thanks a million, Pat. Lovely to talk to you.